Well, I wonder if you've been picking up some of these golden threads that we've been weaving together this morning for our Easter Sunday celebration. And it has been a real celebration, and it's just the beginning of the day. For throughout this service, we've been weaving together three golden threads that, when they're put together, form a beautiful, rich tapestry. And those golden threads are these. I'm sure you picked them up. One, resurrection. Two, adoption into the very family of God. And three, our immense inheritance as the children of God. Resurrection, adoption, and inheritance. And these golden threads, they all come together in the words that Jesus said to Mary Magdalene in John chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, Mary, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Let's set the scene for when these words were spoken. Back on Good Friday, that we call Good Friday, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. From 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he hung on the cross in agony, in darkness, dying. And he did that in order to bear the sins of the world and to bear them all away, and to take God's judgment against those sins and to satisfy that judgment and that wrath. So that in Christ our sins and God's justice meet so that we can be saved. He hung there until around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then at 3 o'clock or around 3 o'clock, he said these words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." What a wonderful thing to be able to say the moment you're dying. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Not despair, not, "Oh, I wish I had longer to live," not life full of regrets, but, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And then he gave up his spirit and died. He was then certified dead by the Roman soldiers on duty. They took him down from the cross. They buried him in a stone cold tomb. He had to be buried in haste because the Sabbath was starting very soon. And because of some religious stupidity in perverting the Sabbath, the ladies weren't allowed to even treat his body with respect and prepare it for burial. So they had to bury him really quickly, unanointed. And Friday comes to an end. There's one dead Jesus. There's a number of grief-stricken, heartbroken, desolate ladies. And there's 11 devastated apostles whose dream had been shattered and who now just do not know what to do with themselves and are so frightened that the authorities are coming for them next that they lock all the doors. And the day is dark and the day ends joyless. And then there's the Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath. And once again, the ladies are all keen to take the spices and go and anoint the body of Jesus. But again, because of some religious mad rules, and religion is so good at that, isn't it? Making up mad, stupid rules. And these ladies couldn't go and anoint the body of Jesus on the Sabbath, on the Saturday. They had to wait. And it was a very long day for them. And then Sunday dawned. And as soon as they could, the ladies gathered together the spices and they rushed to the tomb to anoint the dead body of Jesus, to treat it with respect as it should have been treated. But when they arrived at the tomb, they were absolutely shocked. The stone had been rolled away from the entrance and the body of Jesus had been removed. It wasn't there. The tomb was empty. One of the best tweets I've ever done in all my life was from inside that tomb of Jesus. Some of you know this already, but with a tweet you can have, well, in those days, long gone, you could only have 140 characters. So you had to queue up to get into that tomb. I thought, I'm going to tweet from inside the empty tomb of Jesus. How can I get it to 140 characters? I did. It was something like this. I'm in the tomb of Jesus. It's empty. Of course, he's risen. And of the 7,523 tweets I've ever done, that was the best, I'm sure. It was empty. The body of Jesus was not there. Some of the ladies ran back to the disciples to tell them that they'd taken away the body of Jesus and nobody knew where it was. But Mary Magdalene didn't run back. She stayed at the empty tomb, and she stayed there, and she was weeping, crying and crying. It was at that moment that Jesus appeared to her. It was the first of the 11 appearances. And though through the next 40 days there would be many more appearances that followed, yet the first of the resurrection appearances was to this lady, Mary Magdalene. She was the first person in all the world and in all of history to see Jesus Christ alive. Just as Eve was the first lady ever to see the sunshine, so Mary was the first lady ever to see Jesus Christ back from the dead. But what did she do? But what would you do? Consider her situation. The man that she loved, the man that she worshipped, the man who had done so much for her was alive again and standing before her. That the Son of God, who had forgiven her sins, given her a new life, a new start, made her feel worthwhile again, like born again, he was talking to her again. The one that she thought was dead, no, she knew he was dead because she watched the place where they buried him. That same one that she knew was dead 3 days ago is now actually standing before her very eyes, more alive than ever before, and calling her name like no one else ever said her name. Mary. Well, what would you do? Well, this is what she did. She hugged him. She ran up to him and she grabbed hold of him and she holds him so tight. Rabboni, which is not just rabbi, but Rabboni, that's a term of affection. Rabboni. And she holds on to him as if never to let him out of her sight again. And Jesus has to say to her, "This can't go on like this forever, Mary. I've not come back to live life on earth like I was here before. I've not come back to earth in the same way that Lazarus has come back to life. He came back to life to live on earth for a while. I've come back to life to ascend to heaven. So you can't hold on to me like you did before. I'm ascending to heaven. And that completes my timeline on earth. Birth, life, death, burial, resurrection, it all leads to the ascension to God's right hand on high. And I'm going to be sitting there at the right hand of the majesty in glory. So, Mary, don't try and hold me back to earth. Don't hold on to me, Mary, because it's not going to be like it was before. It's going to be better. And he says these wonderful words to her. I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Let's get the significance of those, just that one sentence. I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. You know, those words, they are life-changing words. That doesn't mean that there are two gods and two fathers, one for Jesus, one for Mary. But it means that both Mary and Jesus have the same God. They have the same Father. Mary, my God is your God. My Father is your Father. You're in my family. Hundreds of years before Jesus said this, there was a lady called Ruth. And she had said to her mother-in-law, Naomi, these words, "Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." We'll have the same God, Ruth was saying to Naomi. And Jesus is saying to Mary, my God is your God. My Father is your Father. And that's amazing. Jesus and Mary Magdalene share the same Father. And that Father is our Father who art in heaven. Of course, there's a difference. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He always is, always has been, always will be. There will never be a time when Jesus is not the Son of God. He's always been the Son of God. God has always been his Father. He stands in a unique relationship with the Father. But for Mary, she becomes a child of God by grace and by adoption. You see, there was once a time when God was not Mary's father. Mary had lived a sinful life for herself, no matter what modern movies say. The scriptures tell us a bit more about Mary Magdalene. She was doing all kinds of sinful stuff with no thought for God at all. But there came a day when Jesus stepped into her life and he forgave her many, many sins. And when she let Jesus into her life, she claimed him as her Savior. She believed in him as the Son of God, and she became a child of God. The moment she believed Jesus, that very moment was the moment she became a child of God, adopted into the family. How do we know that? Because of the words that John wrote in the porchway of his gospel. He says this: Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So the moment you receive Jesus as Savior, the moment you believe in his name, that very moment you can say to Jesus, your God is my God. Your Father is my Father. And so Mary Magdalene could say the same. Wonderful. And wonderful consequences as well. Have you ever thought of what it actually means to be a child of God? Cedric sung about it. We had lots of verses on the screen all about it while the music team played for us. But there are wonderful consequences in being able to call God your Father and saying that you're his child. One consequence is that you'll have an amazing inheritance. An inheritance is something given to you by another person, but it's now become your possession. It was theirs, it's now yours, and you own it. They've given it to you. You've inherited it from them. And we have an amazing inheritance. And what is that inheritance? This was read to us. In his great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. So this inheritance is given to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's his death and his resurrection that brings us into this inheritance when we believe in his name. Note, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you. That word kept is translated in some Bible versions reserved. Reserved in heaven for you. Last night, we were taken out for a meal. It was a delicious meal. And because it was Easter Saturday, we knew things were going to be busy, so we rung up to reserve a table. And when we got to this place, you could see on the table, reserved. And you think, that's for me. No one else can have that table. That is our table. It is kept for us. And that's our inheritance. No one else can have your inheritance. That's yours. It's kept in heaven for you. And three things about this inheritance: it can never perish, spoil, or fade, unlike any earthly inheritance, which would do all three of those things. Our heavenly inheritance will never perish, spoil, or fade. What a tremendous inheritance we have. What is it? Well, it's all that God will give us in heaven. Jesus said, I have gone to prepare a place for you. It's a place. It's a new body that will be honorable and imperishable and powerful and spiritual. But actually, this inheritance, we cannot even begin to imagine what it would be like. It would be like Lucy and Susan and Peter and Edward standing outside the wardrobe door wondering, what's Narnia like inside? They haven't got a clue until they enter in. And we often think about our heavenly inheritance as a place and as a body and as a possession and as something that we will be in. And it's true, we will. But maybe, just think about this thought. Maybe we're wrong to think of our inheritance in terms of possession and ownership. maybe we should think more of our inheritance in terms of experiences. You know, experiences is a big thing these days. You can buy tickets for experiences and adventure days, hot air ballooning, supercar track day, 12 miles in a helicopter. Wonder why they don't do 13, but 12 miles in a helicopter. Pamper days, which sounds like you go around the whole day in nappies. Champagne at the top of the Shard. A day at the Jamie Oliver Cookery School. All kinds of different experiences. You can buy, you can purchase them. Experience is a big thing these days. We're aware of the troubles in retail industry at the moment. Famous shops and chains are closing down. That's quite sad. Actually, Toys R Us, they're closing down. And retailers have to work really hard to keep customers coming through their doors. Yesterday in one of the newspapers, Janet Street Porter in her column wrote this. Regarding retail, there are two buzzwords of the moment, experience and relevant. And the trend is to invest in experiences rather than objects. Apparently, to get people back into the shops, you've got to get not just they can buy things, but they have an experience as they go back there. Experience. It's not just a new thing. About 10, 12 years ago, an author, one of my favorite authors called Douglas Copeland, wrote a book, Generation X, Stories for an Accelerated Culture. And in that book, he has a group of friends. They sit down together in the desert, of all places, and they talk about experiences. And they want to know from each other what experience in life was the best, most lasting, most abiding memory you've ever had. But this experience mustn't be bought. It must be free, given to you. And the chapter title of that is Purchased Experiences Don't Count. And maybe we're to think of our inheritance in heaven as an experience that we haven't bought. An experience that's been given to us by purchase by another person, by Jesus, through his death and resurrection. And the book of Revelation does describe our inheritance as experiences. No more tears in our eyes. It's an experience of supreme happiness. No more death. It's an experience of living forever. No more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more sin. Imagine that. Those experiences, never crying again, never being sad again, never being in pain again, never sinning again. That is our inheritance. He who overcomes will inherit all this, said Jesus. But actually, our inheritance blows our mind. Romans 8:16. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. That will be an experience to behold, to share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a child of God? Can you say to Jesus, or Jesus says to you, your Father is my Father, your God is my God? Do you believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he rose again on the third day to conquer death? And have you received him as your Savior? And do you believe in his name? Then if you do, you can call God your Father. And you might have had all kinds of sad experiences of earthly fathers. But I can tell you that our Father in heaven is perfect. He's so just, so kind, so loving, so caring, so protective, so patient. No earthly father loves like him. And you can say that you are a child of God, like Mary. Once Mary felt like she was nobody's child, just like a flower growing wild. Nobody wanted her for her. They all wanted her for her body, being Mary, but nobody wanted her for her. But now she can say, God wants me for me, who I am, a child of God. You can be assured that you're a child of God and cry out, Abba, which is like a really intimate name for God, almost untranslatable. You can know that you have an indescribable inheritance kept in heaven for you. Experiences you cannot dream of. In your inheritance, you will see new sights. You will hear new sounds. You'll talk a new language. You'll touch new textures. You'll taste new flavors. You'll smell new fragrances. What an inheritance, all given to us because of Jesus' death and resurrection from the dead. And finally, if you believe in Jesus' death and resurrection, you'll be able to say the same words that Jesus said when he died. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You know what peace that will give you. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And you'll be able to say that because his God is our God and his Father is our Father. Resurrection, adoption, and inheritance all tied together to show us something of the glory and the majesty of the Easter message. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Amen.